Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Welcome to the program, Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I thought that was a cool Bible quote, because I play darts, and it referenced them. So, welcome to the program, folks. Hope you had a great week. I'm telling you, it was a crazy week. It is. Because we're ever changing because of Obamacare. Every time you turn around, well, you buy something. Well, now we don't have to do that. Yeah. But today on the program, we're going to talk about the 322 pages in the FCC takeover of the internet, or what we think is in there, because we don't know. Google had a part in it. We know that much. Also, what do you think about the internet commercial that they did with SNL where they made fun of ISIS? Making fun of the army commercial where the girl grows up in front of her dad? Also, 160,000, 230,000, at one point, 1.6 million for a dead ticket for a 3-day pass for the finale show. Is my thoughts on that. Sunday was the race in Atlanta, and my favorite driver won. Not really, I'll explain that. And much, much more, so welcome. First thing I wanted to do in the conversation is, I got a couple questions about this, and I just wanted to, because some of my new listeners don't really understand. I was diagnosed 7 or 8 years ago with a metabolic type muscular myopathy. And I have, in the very beginning, I have 3, like, myopathy programs that explain all that. So I'm not going to get into it. But I run a support group for people who deal with that. I didn't expect to. I started it, so I expected just to get help for myself because I was ready to end everything and just give up, and God had other plans, but that's almost a full-time job there. I work at Assisted Living Continuing Care Community. I do all the specialty diets there. I do a cake business, and I cater off and on, and I'm planning a wedding, and I am getting ready for the process in a couple months of probably moving somewhere so me and my girl can have a place together. So I do my program at 11 o'clock on the day during the week that I have off from my 40 to 50 hour a week job at the assisted living community. So that's why it varies. It's usually every other Wednesday and Thursday. It's like 1 week it's Wednesday, then the next week it's Thursday, then it's Wednesday, then it's Thursday. That's why the day kind of varies. And once I get settled in my new place, I will probably be moving it to a nighttime program to make it more accessible to everyone, even though so many people don't realize that as long as you click on the link of the conversation, you can listen to any of my programs. They're all archived. They're all recorded, so you can go back. I listen to a lot of them just to find out, like, well, I'm going to hear what happened to that glitch, the FCC glitch that I had last week, you know, from government taking over the internet. But that's why it's not 100% on the same day every week, but I still get a decent following, so I just wanted to kind of put that out there, and that's why a lot of my strengths and quotes from the Bible are on strength or encouragement, and I want to share a story with you. In 2003, an African minister came to Lakewood Church. in Houston, Texas, where Joel Osteen runs. And the whole time Joel Osteen was with him and talking to him and stuff, he just felt led to give him his tie. He goes, man, I need a tie. I got hundreds. I can, you know, have my wife run home and grab one of them. And he just felt led by a small test to give this guy a tie. He didn't know why. You know, we don't often know why we're supposed to do something. And Joel Osteen gave the minister his tie, not knowing why. And you would swear the guy had met the President of the United States. He was so honored to be there, and he got a tie and everything. And several years later, he came back to Lakewood Church, and he showed a photo with all these, there were military people, there were dignitaries, there were like government leaders and all this stuff in front of his church. And he goes, look what I'm wearing, Joel, look what I'm wearing. It was the tie that Joel had gave him. He just didn't wear that tie in the photo. He kept that tie and hung it in his office. And every time he would get discouraged, he would go over to that tie to give him strength. Every time someone would come in, oh, the funds aren't going to be there. We're not going to make it. We're not going to get the deadline. We're not going to have the money. We're not going to do this. He would take everyone from his church and bring them in and stare at that tie. And he'd say to them all, God did it in Lakewood in Houston, Texas. He's going to do it for us in Africa. It's these little small tests, these little things that God will do for you. That what if no one took their shopping cart back at the grocery store? You know, how hard is it to do the simple things? How is God going to trust you with a big test if you won't do the small tests? And I've often been wondering, what's he doing with the U.S.? I mean, here we go. It doesn't matter what a federal judge says. I guess that's what's getting me, because Barack Obama is doing everything. Me, Fox News, Glenn Beck, I don't care what the federal judge says. I'm granting all these millions of illegal immigrants that have no papers, no documentation, who knows how long they've been here. Well, anyone that's been here at least 5 years, you're going to be able to get legal status. Well, okay. Okay, you are, what's your name this week? And you, how long are you going to tell me you've been here? They're going to get benefits that you and I can't get that are born here. See, what's going to happen is this. You want to go to school and you want to be a Maryland Terrapin, but you're born in Ohio. You know what happens when you go to Maryland? You need to stay there a while and work so you can get in-state tuition. What is in-state tuition? You pay less than a person that's out of state. So a lot of people will dilly-dally, and they'll just get a job long enough to gain residency in the state so that they can get in-state tuition. What is this amnesty going to do? It's going to give an illegal who doesn't even have the right to be here, they're going to pay in-state tuition. Well, you would have to pay out-of-state tuition, even though they're not even legal. They don't have papers to be here, but you have the papers to be here because you were born here. But just because you weren't born in Maryland, you can't get in-state tuition. Oh, but this person that's born in Mexico, he'll get in-state tuition. That makes a lot of sense. They're going to get all these benefits. And what about all these other people that are in line to become legal, and they're 5 years in the process of becoming a legal citizen, doing it the right way? We're not against immigrants. We're against, poof, everyone's legal. That's what we're against, folks. And that's what's driving. But, you know, what difference does it make, really? I mean, you know, what difference does it make? Why don't we just open up our borders and let every person that wants to come here come here? Why don't we just take like planes and fly into Cuba and take anyone that wants to leave and just throw them in a plane and bring them here? Why don't we make like a new law that takes your paycheck and gives it to the illegal so you have no money? Because remember, folks, don't worry. Obama's going to take care of you. Obama's going to take care of you. Like that SNL commercial, don't worry, Dad, it's ISIS. That was hilarious. Where if you ever see the commercial where the girl's like get going into the army and going up in front of her dad's crying as he leaves her at the airport. They did a spoof of that on SNL when she's going to join ISIS. It is hilarious. You got to laugh at some of this stuff. There's got to be some humor in your day. I mean, I'm not laughing at the fact that Barack Obama's not doing anything to stop ISIS, but it was funny. I mean, maybe ISIS will come and bomb NBC and then maybe the liberals will wake up. I don't know. What's it going to take? I mean, I think it's hilarious though. Like these networks, they get like a 20th of the views that Fox News does, but then they diss Fox News all day long. Haven't they learned that, like, when the White House administration went off and dissed Fox News back in, like, his first term, how many people, what's that going to do? Well, what's it about Fox that they're, wait a minute, and they got 10 times the viewers? In fact, when Dennis Leary did his stand-up No Cure for Cancer, there'd be a full page ad about how this lady was like, well, oh, my son is dying of cancer and this and that, and how she's offended by the title everywhere, and everyone would want to, they'd sell 25 more tickets, or they'd just keep selling and selling and selling because, well, I gotta find out what this is about. I want to know what she's offended. I mean, she had to have seen the show, you know. She had to have seen No Cure for Cancer, so she had to, you know, if she just saw the No Cure for Cancer and her son's dying of it and she's offended, that's one thing. But if you saw the show, it's about no one gets out alive. You know, everyone must die. Like the guy that wants to go around the world, he's doing this in 92 and he wants to make the whole front of the pack the warning in cigarettes. Like we just haven't got it yet. Like people and smokers around the world are smoking these things thinking they got vitamin C in them. You could have cigarettes that were called tumors that come in a black pack, skull and a crossbone. You know, and that's, you know, when they make someone say, oh, why would you watch Fox News? Da, 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 da. That just gets, wait a minute, what's on Fox News? Someone goes, you actually believe Fox News? I said, no, I don't. I actually fact check them. Sometimes they exaggerate the truth, but the truth is the truth. You know? When I have liberal friends that are outraged that the government is taking over the internet, the FCC is, well, gee, those are people that were appointed by Obama, two Republicans and three Democrats, and the three Democrats voted for FCC control of the internet. Yes, because of how they're appointed and how they're brought to power, they don't have to. How would you say it? When they were brought to Congress and said, hey, what's in this bill, da, 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 about the government control of the internet, we don't have to, they basically declined. We don't have to answer to you or the American people. See, you gotta understand something. Obama's not dumb. He knows how to manipulate the Constitution. Now he doesn't need it because he's just gonna pass that illegal amnesty no matter what. You know, it's getting scary. And I guess my whole rants have been, and since I've been doing this, have been to get people to wake up. Because, see, he's a liberal. He doesn't want to be seen as someone that goes to war. No, he doesn't want to do that. No, sirree, Bob. He's wanting to hopefully get out before it gets worse. That way, if ISIS comes and does something, hey, not on my watch. Nothing happened when I was president. You know, what I'm going to do, folks, I'm the president Bill Clinton, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to be able to grant Americans the ability to get a $200,000 home, even though they can't qualify for a $50,000 home. And then what's going to happen is when all these people start foreclosing on their homes, when Bush is in office, we're going to blame him. It's the blame game. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, folks. It's a blame game where the Democrats blame everything on the Republicans and nothing ever gets done. That's right, folks. It's the blame game. This week, we're going to spend $42 trillion to, guess what? To fund DSL for another week. Really? I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about starting a GoFundMe account and put like $20 trillion as my goal, and then put underneath it what I want to do is to take and eliminate the deficit of a United States government. I bet you I'd get tons of publicity for that. I think that'd be funny. Oh, ever since I heard about those debt tickets, as we'll talk about later, I'm like, yes, sir. I need $20 million. And it'll all, no, because it'll just, well, I'll put it towards the debt. I won't sit there and have like a $100 credit card bill and then get $100 and instead of paying the $100 on the credit card, you know, spend more. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, when is ISIS going to come over here? You know, it's, we're dealing with Hitler all over again, but instead of doing something about it, we're just letting it grow. You know, 1936, like I've said in the past. Like I said in the past, isn't that funny how you need to know your past and your history to know where to go forward? Letting Hitler grow and not stopping him in 36 only made things worse. And what are we doing now with ISIS? We're not doing anything and it's getting worse. Like I say before and I'll say it again, you got to know your past to know where you're going. Because if this restaurant failed doing this, why would you do it? You know, learn from Kmart. You know, they didn't expand and put in a grocery store like all the other chains. Now they're dwindling and are close to being extinct. Why would you go to Kmart when you can go to Target or Meijer or Walmart and get almost 99% of anything you need? You know? If you're opening up like a one-stop shop store, you're not going to go by the Kmart motto. You're going to go by a Meijer motto or a Target motto that has everything. I'm just waiting for one of those like Walmart or Target or Meijer to put in like a lumberyard. My point in all this is if you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going. You can't know. You can't. How can you know? Okay, we're recreating history, folks. You know, you need to, I mean, if Obama can disobey and do whatever he wants, why can't the military say, okay, we need to go after ISIS. We're not going to wait for the president to act. We're going to do it. We're going to, because we got to protect our American people. I don't want soldiers over there any more than you do. But when these people are teaching 6 years old kids, this is where you grab his hair like this and you pull it back. You grab the knife and you slit the throat and, you know, and then you cut it up and then you feed it to someone because it's their missing son. Yes, it's gruesome and it's gross, but that's reality, folks. If you want candy canes and bubblegum drops, sorry to disappoint you. I want to talk about that too. You know what? When ISIL is doing what they're doing, you know, something's got to be done. Something's got to wake up. And it's like this FCC disclosure. No one knows what the next Google does. Google was touted as saying that we revised some of it because we wanted to reword it in a way so that people understood that there will be no new, the internet is not going to go up. It's not going to, taxes, you know, you're not going to pay more for the internet or whatever. Who knows? My point is, all this stuff's going on and no one is, and it's like, who cares? You know, Hillary Clinton, which we already knew that it was a terrorist attack in Benghazi. We have emails that prove it, but You know what? If that was a Republican, let me tell you, they would want him like the Salem witch trials hung. This is what we're going to do. We're going to tie you to the stake, and we're going to stick you in this water. And if you can survive 10 hours and you come up and you're still alive, okay, guess what? We'll let you free. That's what they do if there's a Republican that had done all this. It's amazing how there is some, like, what the heck is going on in the White House on the left. Not saying there's none, but there'd be 100 times more if it was George Bush doing it, or Mitt Romney, or John McCain. Maybe going AWOL. But I guess I try to wake people up and say, hey, you know, we need to do this, but then what are we going to do? You know, start a civil war, and then Obama says, okay, state of emergency, I got to stay president, we got to hold all these straw poll things. Because he has literally the executive power to say, if this country is bad enough, he needs to stay in power until it subsides. So he can't halt elections. That is it. That is granted to him. Oh, Lord. I don't want to see that, but I can see it happening. Will it happen? I can't tell you, but I could see him staying in power past elections, or halting elections. I can see that happening. And there's been debate whether ISIS would behead him, you know? Would someone be, like, hailed as a king for beheading one of their friends? I don't know. You know, when are we going to get our country back? Or how do we get our country back? That's what everyone asks me. You know, this FCC thing where no one knows what's in it, this Obamacare thing where they just quit past it, how are we going to... And it's all... And the hardest part about it is he knows the Constitution. He knows how to manipulate the Constitution. Because I've gotten into it with someone, well, Obamacare, it passed the Supreme Court. It said, well, as a tax, not a law. If Obamacare was a law, you wouldn't be allowed. It wouldn't be allowed if it was a law. You know, but since they went at it, because they even said in the Supreme Court, if it's a tax, we'll let it go. You know, and that's, but, you know, and how do you change people that no matter what, they're never going to believe you? You know, I mean, I have liberal friends that are, some of them are kind of like, well, wait a minute here. I don't support the government running the internet. Well, what? And I finally went to one of them and I said, well, what do you think I've been complaining about all along? Barack Obama's lawlessness. We're not talking about, okay, you got to understand, the people that voted on this, he appointed it. It's not like, you know, they don't have to answer to Congress or Senate. You know, I don't know, because so many people just don't, you know, they will, till the day they die, Obama's my president. No matter what you show him, you know, Barack Obama could be videotaped beheading someone. Oh, that's not him. You really believe that? That's when you go, okay, well then, I'm sorry. Let me see if I can get you in that video instead of that. They'll make another video. Let's see if we can have them capture you. Maybe then will you believe it? They'll probably be walking around suspended because they really won't believe they're dead. And they'll be like a ghost for eternity. You know, we're not, like I said earlier, we're not against illegals. But just poof, you're a legal citizen now. I'm not against a Mexican coming here if they do it the right way. We're not. No one is. But if you want it to be, well, guess what, folks? Ooh, yeah. By the way, yeah, I know you've been trying to become a legal citizen for 5 years, but yep, all these people are just gonna poof. They're legal. Now, are the people that have been in line to be legal, are they gonna become legal? You know? I don't know. I don't know. You know. It's, I see people questioning in like some of the press, the White House press, the meetings, you know, them questioning the White House press secretary, but they don't care. It's there, like I said, and you're seeing it now, but I said it way before that Obama doesn't care anymore. He'll do whatever he wants. He's not, he doesn't, he won't. You know, okay, I'm gonna do whatever I want. Who's gonna stop me? And if you try to stop me, I'm gonna declare a state of emergency and I'm gonna stay in the White House. And if I say that there's still a state of emergency, it could be the most calmest country in the world. Well, he hasn't said that the state of emergency is over yet, so he can stay in the White House for ever. I'm not saying that's going to happen. You know, he's going to do whatever he wants. And how do we, you know, the cards in, because we can't really revolt. He's going to do a key state of emergency. I'm going to stay president. You know. I don't know. It's hard. Is there an answer? And the people that voted for him are the same people that are going to vote for Hillary. They don't know her. They don't know anything about her. They're just voting for they're that college kid that watched Jon Stewart, that if they watch news at all, it's Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. I vote for Hillary Clinton. Well, who's her running mate? What's her running mate? I thought she was gonna be a president. Yes, she is. But there's a running mate, someone that's gonna be the vice president. What's a vice president? That's who's going to be voting for Hillary Clinton that don't know anything. Well, who did we fight to win the Civil War? Britain? No, you moron, it was China. It wasn't China, man, it was Russia. Yeah, Russia is who we fought to win the Civil War. That's what's really scary when they go out to college campuses and ask basic questions about basic history. What happened in the Revolutionary War? Okay, that would be, shoot. That would be when the North took on the South, and the South won't, no, the North won, didn't they? That's scary, but that's how it is. And they're voting, and they're the ones that are out with the Obama signs, yay! That can't even tell you who's Harry Reid. I don't know, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi. Name sounds familiar. Timothy Geithner. I remember they did this one time, and like a foreign exchange student, and they asked like 10 people name like a senator. The foreign exchange student like blew away a foreigner, not even born in America, named all these senators. Well, you got Senator John McCain, you got Ted Cruz, you know, and he just listed on and on and on, you know, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Rand Paul, and just and like all the other people, like one, I think two people, I think Ted Cruz maybe he might, I think. It's like Dan Coats, you know, Indiana. It's just amazing. But they're the same people that vote for Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton and don't know anything. They don't. And that's what's wrong with this world, folks. They should have a little, I mean, and that is, well, that's not right. You have to have an ID to vote. That's sexist. That's racist. Really. And don't you have to have all this documentation to get a Social Security card? How are you going to have all this documentation? Where are these illegals going to get all these documents so that they can get a Social Security card? So how are we going to know when, and this is the scary thing, how do we know that all these people that are going to get these this amnesty, how do we know who they are? If they're illegal and they have no documents, how do we know they're not ISIL people, ISIS? How do we know they're not from? We don't know. You won't know who they are. They're just gonna poof, become a legal citizen. They're not gonna go through the process, and then, okay, 2 years into the process, we find out this guy's trying to bomb 10 buildings. Well, guess what? We're not going to have that time to decipher to find out who they really are. It's poof. Whoops. Yeah, we just magically made these people legal, and now they're going to kill us all. You know, guess what? Scary. We're not against illegals. None of us are. But now that he's just going to, okay, I'm the president, this is going to pass, I don't care. That governor in Texas, I can honestly see Texas, because it's supposedly the only state that legally has in their bylaws or whatever that they can secede from the United States. I can see them doing that. I could see them doing that. And you have a federal judge. And nope, we're not going to do that. I'm the president. He's not. I make the laws. And what's going to happen is, let's say Hillary Clinton gets in, it's going to expand the power. Well, if Barack Obama could do it, you know, we're getting away from this notion of, if it's illegal for George Bush to do it, what makes it legal all of a sudden for Obama to be doing it? If Bill Clinton did it and it was illegal, what makes it legal for Bush or anyone else to do it? That's what gets me. You know, they act like, well, and then, I mean, it's gotten away from it somewhat, but there used to be fights all the time on the network where Democrats and Republicans would fight. Well, look at what Obama's doing. Well, look at what Bush did. I'm like, well, and I'm just sitting there going, well, what makes him right? Okay, let's say that liberal's right and he did all this stuff George Bush did that you're claiming. Well, if it's wrong for him to do it, then what is it right? Where is it all of a sudden magically legal for Obama to do it? He should be saying, okay, well, enough's enough. We're gonna do the right thing. You know? I mean, that's why I liked that ISIS thing that they didn't us know. It made you laugh. You need that. You all need some comedy in our lives, you know? You all need some good news. Like the $160,000 that people are asking for Grateful Dead tickets. Really, folks? As we move on. I mean, I think it's just jokes. I mean, you got to understand how many millions of people are trying to get tickets. You know, for every one person that wants a ticket, there's probably 2,000 tickets available. Now, let's switch that. Let's reverse it. There's about 2,000 people wanting every one ticket. They're up in age. This is their 50th anniversary tour, not 50 years old. They don't owe us anything, folks. They don't owe us deadheads anything. They even have seating 365. You can have, they're actually people who want my $2,000 for tickets that are behind the stage. No one's going to pay it, so don't worry. Anywho. It's just one of those things that they don't know anything, like I said. You know, they're doing this out of the greatness of their heart. There's nothing they, it's not their fault that 85 million people want tickets, and that's only U.S. people. I cannot tell you how many people from England and Germany and France would die to have seen them, but guess what? You know, by the time the mail order, because if I try to mail something to my buddy Scott in Paris, it's ridiculous. It'd take 3 weeks. That's why I can just email him and Facebook him and, you know, done in like 30 seconds. There you go. You know, and I think it's just like a publicity stunt kind of thing. And hey, if someone's stupid enough to pay $160,000, cha-ching, there goes my mortgage payment. It's paid. When someone buys these tickets, the mortgage, it's paid. You know, but until then, you know what? The only thing it'd be fun to do is to just be there and just hang with some of the with some of the old friends and just, you know, reminisce. But I have a feeling you're gonna have like 800 million people trying to go there with no tickets, you know. Well, look at how many people still want tickets and don't have any. I have a feeling there's gonna be a couple hundred thousand that are gonna hope for a miracle. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that has had the thoughts of, let's just go there anyways and hope for a miracle ticket. If not, we'll just hang out and have a great time. I'm sure there's probably a couple hundred thousand that want to do the same thing. So let me tell you something. If I don't go, I don't go. It's not the end of the world. You know, I have a reason. My girl Melissa said it best, and I kind of said the same thing. I think there's a reason why God didn't get us tickets. Yeah, I'd love to be there, but I think there's a reason why, you know. Because you think about it, if Jerry would have lived, it was getting to be like the dead. It was going to be like fish, you know, with all these Trustafari and all these, like, people that have no business being there, and, you know, you don't watch it anything you bring is theirs, and, you know, it's just a nightmare. But, yeah. You know, all these people that are complaining, you know. Man, signed a petition to get him to do more shows. I'm like, they don't owe you anything. That's what offends me when they had this thing like, you know, signed a petition to get him to do more shows. I'm like, really? I like the fact that it's a finale thing. You know, and don't worry, they'll have it, I guarantee you they'll stream it somehow, so you can listen. And so what, if you want to listen, you know, so what, see? So you pay a couple bucks if they do like a pay-per-view type thing, which would probably just be free, you know, and you can just listen via the radio or radio station, because I've done that many times. But, you know, it's just one of those things that just drives me to drink because there's so many people bitching, and it's not right, you know. I mean, yeah, you have the right to bitch, but it's like, okay, realize that there's 20 times more people wanting tickets than there are tickets for the shows, you know. And what I've learned from my life is, and I've said this before, if I had my way, I wouldn't even be here. I'd have been in New York. I'd probably be wandering around in New York still trying to get a job in a restaurant, not realizing I'm not even alive. You know, but, you know, God has a plan, and you don't understand this plan. You know, it doesn't work right. His plan just works. And as we move on from that, Jeff Gordon, his final tour. Jeff Gordon's final tour, 33rd in Daytona and 41st at Atlanta. Oh, wow. Gordon, 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 what are you doing, buddy? They got to dig themselves up a big hole. My favorite driver did win, though. Jimmy Johnson. He wouldn't have won if I was in NASCAR. He'd have been in the wall. What did Dale Sr. always used to say about Jeff Gordon? Oh, and when it comes to Jeff Gordon, put that son of a bitch in the wall. Whoops, did I say that? I would. I guess it's because people hated Earnhardt in the same fashion. Because he, like, well, give someone else a chance. Let someone else win. You know? And I think they've tried to make it so it's not like, all Jimmy Johnson has to do is start his car and he will claim the 2008 Sprint Cup Championship before Homestead Miami Speedway. Like he's champion before basically, I think one of the years, all he had to do was start the car, and all he had to do was have his car start and get past the start-finish line. When they dropped the green flag, all he had to do was get past the start-finish line with the green flag, and he'd win. And it wasn't even a contest. And I was like, that's no fun. That's why I liked how they did, like, the elimination thing, and it had, like, four drivers that could potentially win. I think NASCAR is going in the right direction. I think they're doing, it's not going to be perfect. You're always going to have an issue, like I've said in the past. You know, do you think you should get the most points for winning the race or leading the most? Because if you lead 199 laps and you don't win the race, and the person that wins the race leads the last lap, and it's a 200-lap race, who should get the most points? Should Jeff Gordon get the most points because he won the race, even though he led one lap? Or should Jimmy Johnson get the most points because he led 199 laps? Like I've said in the past, they need to do a lap share system. So, like, you get, let's say, 50 points for winning the race. And then if you lead 100 laps, then you get a percentage on how many laps you lead. So, like, okay, for, like, every, like, maybe, like, 10 laps or something, you get, like, 5 points. That way you can get points. That way if you win the race and lead one lap, you don't get as many points as someone that leads the race, you know, leads the race, like, 80 laps and wins the race. But then you don't get as many points because if you lead all 200 laps, then you should get points more than someone that wins the race and only leads 100 laps, you know. So that's how I thought they should do it, and I think they might implement that. But I'm just so great to see my boy Brett Moffitt, who is filling in for Brian Vickers, come in eighth place. I was at work. I'm like running like a chicken with my head cut off at work Sunday night, and I was damn near like, I'm like, it's okay. I can just see like someone behind me. It's okay, man. You know, your substitute driver just came in eighth place, a top 10. It's okay. I'm like, well, I was sitting there when I heard that. I'm like, well, screw Vickers, put Moffitt in there. Heck, he's incredible. He's going to be a great driver. Brett Moffitt's great. I love him. You know, and that's what I mean, like, you watch some of those Truck Series races or the Infinity Series. They're incredible races, and I love how NASCAR finally said, you know what? We're going to give them the shot. Screw this. Well, if Kyle Busch can win this, he'll win the Truck Series, the Infinity Series, and the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. You know, I like it to where they're making it now to where, like, you have to run every race in the Truck Series to be eligible for the championship. That way you don't have NASCAR, you know, Cup stars winning it. I like it how they're making it so that, okay, if you're that way. That's why I like the Indy Light Series. That's why I love IndyCar, because when you're in the Light Series, you're in the Light Series. That's what you race. You don't race in the Big Time Series. That way, those drivers get to race each other, and it's their own competition. It's their own league, per se. And you don't have Dan Weldon coming in and, okay, I'm going to race this Indy Light Series. Well, we don't have a chance, you know. Because, I mean, they're all the cars are different. The engines are different. The CCs, the horsepower, all that's different. And the Light Series has some great races. They're like sprints because they're shorter. Especially, I love doing the Indy 500 when they do the Light Series. That is just, oh, it's great. It's exciting. Oh, just get your blood pumping. Because it's people that really, well, I'm not at that level. I'm not at the top echelon of IndyCar. I've got to earn my way up there. Where in NASCAR, it's like, well, guess what? Here's all these people that are the best at what they do, and they're going to come down into our Infinity Series, and they're going to race, and we can't even compete, you know? I'm a development driver, and I'm learning, and I'm going to beat Carl Edwards? I don't think so. Joey Logano? But then it is kind of neat to when you see Matt Craftsman has won the Truck Series, and, you know, and he's beaten some of these other drivers, you know? It does kind of give them a high, though. Like, look at what I've done. Yes, I love motorsports. The only thing I've never really gotten into is the bikes. Yeah, my muscular dystrophy doctor in Indy, John Kincaid's like, you need to go to Indianapolis and watch the motorcycle race. It's great. You got to check it out because he has season tickets to the Indy 500 and the Brickyard and stuff. And I love him so much because he talks on my level. When I couldn't understand any doctors, he's like, I'm going to explain to you what's going on. Okay, your body's a gas station and it ain't working. You know, your body's a car and everybody's car or human has a gas station that refills their body with stuff. Your body's gas station don't work. And, you know, and I'm like, okay. You know, and he's like, you gotta check out the bikes. And I'm like, well, bikes? I'm not really into bikes, but I might do it sometime. I might go check them out. But I'm not a big bike fan, but I love, like, I'll watch anything from drag racing to, a little quick story. I remember one time we took someone down to see the drag races in Indianapolis, and he's like a diehard new ear plugger, and I don't really know. Really? Okay. My dad, you know, I went to my dad's shop and picked up some earplugs free. Ain't nothing. You know, and we go down there, and they're just doing some trial runs, and the first trial, I'm, oh, man, his eardrums popped. He's like, oh, son of a beep, 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 beep. Oh, yeah. Then he's going to one of those trailers. I need the $5 earplugs. Hey, buddy, I told you. John, I told you, man, they're not. This ain't NASCAR. These drag racers are loud. You know, trust, see, we had been before. We know the history. We know we've made the mistake of, whoops, you know. I had them, but I just kind of, you know, we'll just kind of put them in and see how it goes. And, okay, then we got them. Okay, let's readjust these things. It's still wild, you know. We knew, but when people don't want to listen, I swear he had to be in. No, he was a conservative, you know, in real life, you know, but like, I'm just like, he must be a liberal because he won't listen to us. This ain't NASCAR, you know, this, you know, okay. Yeah, I can go to a lot of tracks in NASCAR except for Bristol and not wear earplugs. But then I got my headphones on and it's not that big of a deal where, you know, drag racing is a whole lot. And there's times where what I'll do is I'll put my, when I go to drag, if I go to a drag race, I'll put my earbuds in, and that's what I'll plug into my scanner, and then I'll have my headphones over it. That way I get the noise canceling of the headphones. I'll get, like, the big headphones will help block the sound, and then the earbuds will let me hear, like, any of the announcers, what's going on or what they're saying, you know, when I'm scanning around. So I got about 10 minutes left in the program now, and we're going to switch on to sad, sad fact. When you get on cloud nine because your team Manchester United has beaten Sunderland. Oh yeah, we're fourth place. We got 50 points, 10 back of Chelsea Blue, and Arsenal is third at 51 points. We're better than where I thought we'd be, but I feel we need two things. We need defined roles, and we need, they, I don't see, they gotta be able to, like, okay, like an NBA, they need to be able to pass the ball to the, you need to run up and do a layup, and as you're doing a layup towards the basket, I need to pass you the ball without looking at you. You need to get the ball without even looking at it and dunk it, and then be like, wait a minute here, and have the other team going, huh? They scored? Look, a little funny side note. One of my good friends at work, Andrew Salazar, one of his fiance's cousins got him tickets to see the Pacers and Cleveland play so he could go see his favorite player, LeBron James, got a brand new jersey, everything. He didn't play because they played the Wizards the night before, so they rest him. I'm like, I'd have been pissed because I guess she spent like They got 12 rows up behind the basket and really good seats, and I guess got him on StubHub for like $400 because he got her code to do the app and looked it up, and they can scan your tickets via your phone now. And I guess they did that, and he found out she paid like $400, and he felt so bad, but it was a Christmas gift for the two tickets. But then he didn't get to see LeBron James play. That's what I liked when Chicago Fire played Manchester United. It was so hot that they had unlimited, you know, substitutions, and Alex Ferguson let everyone play. That way you couldn't say, well, I didn't get to see my favorite player, you know. So I got to see Dimitar Berbatov out there, and it was great. I'm like, yes, I get to see him, and I don't have to go to Bulgaria either. Yeah, I'm a huge football fan. It's probably my favorite sport. That I love rugby too, but I can never – it's almost impossible to see in this country. So when they used to have the ESPN, the Watch ESPN app, if you went to the rugby, it'd have like two matches from France, and I had no idea who the teams were, any players, so I just didn't watch it because I watched for a little bit, then I'm like, well, I don't know any of the players. I can't follow. It's not like, you know, so I usually just follow via the internet the Rugby World Cup when it happens and stuff like that, and it's about as far as it goes. But, you know, but back to Man United, you know, they got to know their, they got to have defined roles, you know. And they don't have that, and they gotta be able to play together. You know, if you're gonna be a center half, you need to play as a center half. If you're gonna be a, you know, midfielder, you need to be in a midfielder, left flank, whatever. That's what you got to do. You know, they gotta learn to play together, and the coach can help with that some, but they've got to be able to do it. You know. You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Know when to walk away and know when to run, as Kenny Rogers said. You got to know when to be selfish and shoot the goal, shoot the ball and try to score. But you also got to know when it's better to pass. Because sometimes I think they don't want to be selfish and go for the glory, and they'll pass the ball when they had a better opportunity if they would have just shot themselves. It may not have gone in, but at least they would have had a better chance rather than passing it. And sometimes passing it to try to not be self-absorbed and try to be like a Cristiano Ronaldo, and you're better off passing. And sometimes you're better off not passing. So it all depends, you know. And, you know, Angel Di Maria is a great player. They have great, great players. You know, they got Van Persie, Rooney, you know. On and on and on, but if they do not, they're making mistakes. If you go back to the Munich Air Disaster of 52, take the Seattle Seahawks or the New England Patriots, the second best team in the Premier League back then, if Manchester United would not have had that problem, would be like imagine taking the Seattle Seahawks and having them play the best high school, the state championship football team of Michigan. It wouldn't even be a contest. Seahawks would blow them out of the water. Well, that's how Manchester United used to be. I mean, I remember it'd be like you'd watch the game. Well, I know Manchester United's going to win, but by how much? Now it's kind of like any team can win on any given Sunday. Just because you're number one and you're Chelsea doesn't mean you're going to win. You know, just because, you know, Manchester United, they may not always win. And it's, I guess it's exciting. You know, I guess in a way I'm kind of, it's not really sad that we beat Sunderland, but now it's neat because now you can sit there and Newcastle United's beat Manchester United, and it's just, you know, I think there's a lot of teams that for a while were never there that are up in the Premier League table higher than they've been in a while. Like my buddy, he goes, this is the first time in the history that Chivas Mexico has never been this bad ever. They've never been in this tier of the Mexican table. They've never been this low in their history. Like a only team never been there. They've lost to teams that they'll lose to like once every like 12 years. And I said, hey, it goes around and comes around, man. You know, take the good with the bad. But like me, he's a fan. He's not. He's like, oh yeah, we're struggling, but it's not the end of the world. I'm like, same here. So, win or lose, we're united. Like the song says, in 77 it was Dr. T, Akerson will make it 83, and everyone will know just who we are. We'll be singing Que Sera Sera United, Man United. And that's what I try to do with this program, is you may not support football, you may not support motorsports, you may not support everything I'm into, you may be an atheist, but you know what? I hope I get you to think and say, hey, you know what? Maybe there is something to this guy. Maybe, just maybe, just maybe, because this world ain't ours. It belongs to the children of the children's kids. The actual owners haven't even been born yet. We Can Run by Brett Midland's great song. I want to leave this country so that our kids have a future. And that's what I try to do. I mean, my girl for my birthday, because I love Tony Dungy, she got me a book on like take time for yourself. And I don't know, I do so much. I guess that's the thing I'm trying to figure out. Because I guess I want you to know me. You know, like Glenn Beck says, how can I expect you to listen and trust me if I don't feel like you know me? And I don't really, like, how do I help myself? How do I take time for myself? It's so hard because I'm like, you know, okay, like where I work, if I do a puree wrong or ground meat wrong, someone can die. You know, and like the support group, I feel obligated to help people. And it's like, here, in tears, you have done more for me than you'll ever know. You have a support group. You do more for those people. When you have two people from Turkey that met via the support group and can help each other, I'm mind-boggled. And I am. And you got to take time for yourself. And I'm like, well, how do I know how to, I guess I'm a chef. I know how to serve people, but I don't know how to be served. I don't know how to, like, sit back and do and take time for myself. And I'm trying to learn that. And, you know, and just say, hey, you know, okay, I'll do it. I'll take for myself. Got about a minute left in the program, folks. But it's just, I just want to see this country survive and not see everything our forefathers worked for be flushed down the toilet. I mean, there was an old thing, my friend is a little cartoon, and it goes, I wonder if we're going to get fed today. Shut up, the guards are coming. And that's how I feel. I mean, like, You know, at least I think this FCC and the fact that Obama's going to defy all the courts and pass this illegal amnesty, I think it's waking some liberals up to say, wait a minute, you know, I may support Obama, but I don't support the government running the internet. I don't support millions of illegals just poof getting all this. And, you know, if it's against the law, it's against the law. So I want to thank you all for tuning out. God bless you all. And folks, until next week. You take care, and God bless you all, and goodbye.